And welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. It's a pleasure to be with you. And we will be your hosts today. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio, Pastor Barry Quirk. It's been a while since we've been together.
Yes, it is.
There's been a number of different broadcasts that have gone out on the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour in the past couple of weeks. But we're glad to be back in the studio with you. And we're looking forward to sharing with you during the next 45 minutes or so. Our theme this week on the Grace Hour is we are in the world, but we are not of it. And of course, I think the fact, Pastor Barry, that we are born again and blood-bought believers reveals the truth of the matter, that although in this world, we're certainly not of it. We have a different nature. We have a different approach. We have a different perspective. We have a different way of living our lives. And it's not that we have to consciously put that in front of us or wake up every day and say, look, I need to be different from this world. We are, by virtue of being born of God's Spirit, different from the world.
Yeah, amen. Thank God. And really, it changes our entire perspective on how we live our lives. We know that we are pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. We're passing the time of our sojourning here on earth in fear, in reverence to God. And because of that, you know, what makes us happy or the pursuit of our happiness has a different picture to it. The eternal picture is so much more satisfying than the temporal, you know, and we know that a good portion of the people on this earth spend their every day trying to get on top, and they can get all the way to the top and get there and realize that's not what they were really desiring. They still have a hole in their heart or an emptiness, and we are those that may not have a lot to our possession, you know, here on earth, but we sleep comfortably at night knowing that we are going to spend all of eternity in the presence of God. And that's a pretty awesome way to live our lives.
Yeah. And it's important, and I like what you said, that we can't afford to lose our pilgrim mentality.
That's right.
Our sojourning status as we make our way through life. Because my daughter, she shared something with me this morning, and it was rather somewhat humorous. It was pallbearers taking their friend to the cemetery, carrying their buddy's coffin, and as they approached the plot in the ground where they were going to put his casket, the earth around them collapsed, and all of them fell into the plot. But she said it's kind of a reminder. She said this to me. It's kind of a reminder to the fact that it's just a matter of time before they take our bodies, which will, you know, die and decay, and put them in the ground. But we have a much bigger purpose for which to live. So today on the Grace Hour, we're talking about some of the time-consuming games and hobbies that we could immerse ourselves into.
Yeah.
And of course, I just want to read something to you. You know, a Puritan preacher once said, he says, vacations, he says, I don't take them. I haven't had a day off in 40 years. The devil doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take vacations, and I don't either. You know, and it sounds good on the surface, but do you really want to pattern your life after the devil?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yes.
And, you know, we're talking about recreation. We're talking about hobbies. We're talking about some of the interests that the believer can find himself or herself involved in that could potentially take up a good portion of our time, resources, and energy. But where do we strike the balance? This is what we want to talk about. What's the role, you know, of these? How time-consuming could these or should these hobbies be in our lives?
Yeah, and I think it comes down to recognizing what it is that we're doing. I mean, we understand that every good and perfect gift comes from above in James 1:17, and that real satisfaction only comes when we're satisfied by God. Now, does that mean that we can't sit down and read a good book or, you know, play a game that we enjoy? And I'm sure they chose us to talk about this topic because of our great prowess in like Dungeons and Dragons or, you know, actually, I don't know that I've ever played the game in my whole life.
I don't, I got to be right up front. I don't do video games. Yeah. I never have. And I don't think I ever.
Well, I hate to take you back, but that was a board game even before the video games became big. So
I believe it.
But at any rate, any game that we play, right? I mean, we could sit down with our family at a vacation day or something and play a game of Monopoly. And
sure,
you could take hours of your time and think like, oh my gosh, what did I just do with my time? But I think the balance is that you just invested some of your precious time or some time that was given to you with your family. And, you know, the question has to be, is it to the glory of God or is it sublimation, which is really replacing the glory of God? Am I doing this to like find satisfaction? Because I'm going to find out in the end, there's no real satisfaction from that. But think about a good game of golf or tennis or, you know, something that we do as a hobby or a sport. And we're talking about games and hobbies in general. And I think today you're right that it's less board games and probably more video games. But how many hours, like endless hours, and we find people who get on their video game on a Friday evening and play all the way through until Saturday morning, then spend Saturday morning sleeping away so they can wake up and start the process all over again. And that's how they spend their weekend, with a lot of other sublimation probably attached to it. And we would just say, you know, we only have a certain amount of time on earth. And what are we going to do with that time? Is it going to be to the glory of God? Which, by the way, playing a sport, giving it the best of your ability, you know, finding the solace of just a quiet time with the Lord. I like to fish sometimes. It's very healthy mentally just to be out and alone. Those are things that can really be used to the glory of God, but also could be captivating us to the point where we're sublimating or replacing those things, that the time that we should have with God, with something that takes us away from God.
Yeah, well said. That's the perfect balance. There are some hidden dangers, of course, in certain hobbies that maybe cross the line and can become like idols in our lives.
Yes.
I mean, anything that will take the place of God in our lives would be considered an idol, would fall into that category mm-hmm. of idolatry. So we just have to guard our hearts. I watched a news program last night, and one of the features in that program was about a young man who got involved in, you know, his hobby was gambling online with his phone, you know, and trying to become wealthy through that process. And it became a real obsession in his life. And one of these young men that they interviewed for this piece on the news, he said, yeah, it was consuming 8 hours a day in my life.
Wow.
And one of these people that he knew, he placed the last bet that was recorded that he placed was a $10,000 bet, which he lost. And then following that, he took his own life.
Wow.
I mean, these are the hidden dangers
behind
some of these hobbies, some of these things that we could become overly involved with in our lives. And I like what you said. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said how important it was that we walk circumspectly or accurately, with wisdom, guiding and directing the course of our lives, redeeming the time. He said, because the days are evil.
Right.
I mean, you know, behind the involvement in any games or hobbies or extracurricular activity that we enjoy, and by the way, the Bible does not say, there's no commandment in the Bible that says, thou shalt not have fun.
Right.
Right? Or thou shalt not, you know, enjoy the free time that you have. There's no such thing. So let's get rid of that idea, take it right off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Believers can enjoy themselves, they can enjoy their free time, they can enjoy some of the hobbies that they participate in. But when it becomes an obsession, when it crosses that line and we realize that we want to do these things more than we want to be together with other believers and enjoy their fellowship, you know, anything that's going to, in my personal life, anything that's going to keep me from going to church or keep me from personal Bible study or fellowship with other believers, I've got to look at that and I've got to reevaluate whatever it is. Because if it's going to worship or rather take away my worship toward God or any service that God has called me to participate in, I can't let that happen.
Yeah, and that's really one of the evaluations that we use on ourselves. Like, is this thing, as I'm being circumspect about it, does this thing detract from my walk with God, or does it encourage me in my walk with God? And you could say, well, how could any hobby or sport or game encourage you in your walk with God? Well, I think we've all lived our walk with God enough to know that it can be intense. You know, I woke up this morning very heavy, just in my thought pad, you know, what's in front of me, situations that we're dealing with, young people's lives, hell, heaven, you know, and I really, for whatever reason, there's certain days where it's just very heavy, and you can only carry that heaviness so far. And it's why we cast our cares upon the Lord, because he's built for it. We're not. But in the meantime, there's some things that we do sometimes just to blow off steam. And those are healthy things. You know, a good run can clear your mind, or a good weightlifting session, or skating, as we've liked to do our whole lives, and just different things that maybe just give you the ability to kind of stop, pause, refresh, have a Selah in our lives, right? And then go on. But the key is that we don't ever put aside who we are, our identity in Christ, while we're doing those things, because that's where it crosses the line and becomes sublimation. If I stop being a Christian, you know, in my mentality, and it's just all about, I'm just making an excuse because I need to blow off steam, then that can become unhealthy, because there's no balance or limits. But it can be to the glory of God when I do something with my heart in the right place, and just as an opportunity to kind of get a reset and a refresh, and actually to see the pleasure that God, you know, not only does the Bible say don't have fun, it says whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And that's the real pleasure, right? That's the real fun. And, you know, this is why when we do something that doesn't seem naturally like it would be fun, like getting on a bus full of kids and going soul winning, you would think, oh my gosh, that's not only not fun, that's the definition of disaster. But somehow we walk out of there and our hearts are burning. Yeah. We're saying, wow, God just did something amazing, right? And it's because our hearts are in the right place with God, and we have a balance. A false balance is an abomination. Actually, I read a story, and maybe you read about this as well, but an NFL player who had a psychosis. He had a kind of an OCD issue, and it took on, I forget the exact wording of it, but it was a religious tone to it. And it was that he was so occupied with right and wrong in every single moment of his life that he started ritualistic prayers. He had this whole compulsion that was really kind of a legalistic thought, you know, and it was related to a mental illness. It wasn't just he took on a lifestyle, but he got so occupied with never doing anything that would displease God. But of course, he didn't realize that there's nothing we can do to please God, that everything we do with our time and our efforts is by the grace of God. And he got some help, and he's actually understanding it now. And he said, my prayers are no longer just compulsive, you know, making up for something I did wrong, but now it's a relationship. And I was happy to hear that he was able to get help. But even a false balance could be even on the other side, yeah, like seeing no place for earthly pleasure, right? And God gives us a lot of things. He gives us the food we eat. He gives us our spouse. He gives us intimacy. You know, can you imagine that we would say, oh, don't ever be intimate with your wife because that's pleasure, and pleasure is not from God. No, God designed that, right? So, but in a balance, in a way that's going to bring glory, in a way that actually invests in the person, the other person. And in the meantime, we're getting to know God, and our satisfaction is coming because of our relationship with God, not in just those little events.
Yeah. The verse that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 10:13, where Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, you know, whatever you do, whether you eat,
yes,
or drink, or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is, do it all to the glory of God.
Yes.
I mean, that really undergirds the whole nature of our lives. It's the foundation of our lives. I mean, we have to kind of look at everything that we are either doing or considering doing and saying, will this glorify God?
Yes.
And I think that recreation, I mean, the word itself comes from two words, which means to recreate.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what God is always doing in our lives? Recreating our minds, right?
Yes.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He recreates our spirits. He can even recreate our bodies through physical activity.
Yep.
So I just think it's, as you said earlier, James chapter 1, verse 17, it's one of the good gifts that God gives.
Yes.
And he only gives good gifts.
That's right.
So we shouldn't look at it as something, you know, some believers will say, well, that's from the natural realm, or that's of the world, and I don't want anything to do with the world. Well, remember, we're in the world, but we don't have to be of it. We can participate and involve ourselves in some of the things that are in the world without becoming or adopting a world-like mentality.
Yeah, and Pastor Love, let's face it, we give gifts to our children, right? And it gives us great pleasure to give gifts to our children. And we watch them utilize those gifts, and we derive pleasure from the fact that they are able to enjoy something. Now, if that usage of that toy or that gift or whatever it is becomes obsessive or no longer healthy for them, we would intervene and say, you know, this is for your enjoyment, but it's not to be occupying your time 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To say that we shouldn't enjoy a gift that's given to us from God is the same as saying we should never give gifts to our children because it takes away from who they really are supposed to be. And that's not how God's mentality is with us. And he understands that he created us from the dust. He understands where our needs and our desires come from. He wants us to have them be crucified and come through him so that our desires are healthy and not unhealthy. But along the way, life is actually very enjoyable when we let God give us his provision. And I've been kind of harping on this point all week, but I think our focus is not just on what we have or the provision or the lack or the gain, but it's on who we have providing for us. And that's God. And God knows our needs. And God knows our desires and gives us the opportunity to use them in a healthy way. So, you know, a couple of Bible college students get together after a Friday night, full week of class, and they want to play some board game together. That's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's if it starts to become, I'm not studying for my class because I'm playing the board game. I'm not going on outreach because of the board game. I can't talk to any of my friends or family because of the board game. You might have a little issue there crossing over into something that's become idolatrous rather than enjoyment.
Yeah. It would be wise if we learned how to just to talk to God about our hobbies and the things that we do in our free time, whatever our recreation might be like. And because there's no one set of hobby rules that fits everyone.
Right.
And that's so important to remember because we were not given the content of today's program to say, hey, you know, write the set of rules, give the boundaries for everybody listening in terms of how they're supposed to deal with their hobbies.
Right.
Well, everybody's hobbies differ one from the other.
Yeah.
Because we're all unique and we're all different one from another. So there is no one set of hobby rules that's going to fit everyone. But I think the guidelines are the 1 Corinthians 10:31 principle, the Matthew 6:33 principle, mm-hmm. seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And let all these other things be ordered underneath that as your all-important number one priority in life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that the balance that God gives us in our lives is that we would understand what our purpose is here on earth, first and foremost, that we would seek after his will to do that, first and foremost. You know, but some of the first mentions of people with great gifts and skills. In the book of Exodus, there is a craftsman that's recognized as, you know, for his craft and his ability to be an artist. It's right from the very beginning. It's one of the first people that God really recognizes for any other reason, you know, for a gift or something that he's equipped them with. And it's the kind of of life that we have, that God equips us and uses us in a way that glorifies himself in us, that could be a great testimony. And it is, it's all about having that, you know, do we understand what's valuable in our lives? Do we understand the right balance between doing it, whatever we do is unto the Lord? And, you know, can I say that even in playing this game, I'm doing is unto the Lord? You know, we grew up competitive. You know, I grew up very competitive. Whatever it was, you know, we would play games at Christmas time. Come on, play the game. No, I don't want to play the game. You got to play the game. No, I'm going to win the game and you're all going to be angry at me. And they'd say, no, come on, just play. And of course I would play and I could only play to win and they would be angry with me. And I said, I told you, next time don't ask me to play. But as I got older, I realized, you know, the sole goal for playing the game doesn't have to be the victor.
Yeah,
you can actually enjoy the fellowship. You can actually enjoy, you know, and that's like, whoa, for a competitor, it's like, what are you talking about? We don't do anything to let somebody else win. And I'm just saying, like, there is the activity versus the goal, you know, and yes, the goal is, I just want to be encouraged, be edified, laugh a little, enjoy my family, mm-hmm, and then have a fond memory to walk away from instead of being on the list again for another year. It has its advantages at times that you don't have to continue to play if they know what's going to result. But
yeah,
but yeah, just, you know, having a burden that's not false,
yeah,
you know, or a balance that's not false. I mean,
hobbies can help to keep young people away from boredom, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, probably we've all had this experience where a young person is content to do absolutely nothing. And when you ask them, you know, how's life? Well, I'm just bored to death. Of course, immediately the response we would have is, well, do something,
yeah,
you know, or I'll do something with you, you know. Don't necessarily pick up that video game. Maybe go outside and do some kind of activity. Play a sport that you like, you know. Maybe begin with that question. What is it that you like to do?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes as believers, we make this great gulf between what we think God wants from our lives and what it is that we like and enjoy to do.
Yes.
There's not such a big gap there at all. It may be closer, much closer. It may be no gap at all. It could be that as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you those things that you like and to enjoy.
Yes.
Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know, like, for instance, with my grandson, you know, when he was younger, always want to take him outside, always want to get out in the driveway and play some basketball. And then, you know, I have the competitive edge. He has perhaps even a greater competitive edge.
Of course.
And I think, as I recall, I was beating him regularly until he was 16 years of age. I was 61, he was 16. The numbers were reversed.
Yeah.
And then after 16, he started to beat me. And then, of course, I said, we can't play anymore.
Yeah.
I ended it very quickly.
Yeah, wise.
But
man.
It was wise because he was bigger and stronger and quicker and faster. But
yeah,
the point is that I was together with him.
Yeah, and that's actually what I wanted to say is, I was driving recently. I had to go somewhere and pick something up from one of our body members' houses. And along the way, I passed a guy playing ball with his two kids, and he happens to be in our church. And I was like, man, that is such a lost art. And for a moment, I was like, first of all, baseball. Yes, he's playing baseball. Nobody plays baseball anymore outside. And then I thought, even it wasn't just baseball that encouraged me. It was that this dad on his Saturday is outside on his front yard playing catch with his two boys. And I thought, man, there is not a greater thing that guy could be doing with his kids right now. Not because he's playing baseball, but because he's taking time, he's teaching them, he's investing in them, he's showing them patience. He's having fun with them. He's good natured. You know, don't throw like that. You throw like a wimp, or, you know, just having a good time with them. But he's amazing, like, investment. And I think that's the key. You know, you're playing sports with your grandson, and of course there's some competitive edge, and you want to, you know, I always did this with playing, you know, a game with my daughter or my wife, and you kind of fool around and like, oh, let's just have, and then it gets serious because they start beating you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the purpose of it is really, do I invest well? And so could we say that's a wise use of that hobby or those that time? And we do it in such a way that is that a fine? Now, we used to have a golf league here in the church back, you know, Dave Bellerose, Pastor Dave, God bless him, and Pastor Bill, you know, all these guys at Bill Alexson and all these guys. And it was after outreach on Saturday afternoons, we go right down here to Clifton Park and we would play. And it was the funnest thing.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, it could get a little heated. It could get just like anything.
Sure.
We do. You know, you play basketball in the gym. But I always walked away from there feeling like at the end of it, like, you know, we had fun. And while we're on the golf course, we're talking our smack and we're, you know, going at it with each other and telling each other we're doing worse than we really are so that the other person gets relaxed. But at the end, you've always felt like, oh, man, I just had some great fellowship with these brothers. And it was wholesome. And I could walk away from there and say, I didn't waste my time or my life. I got to be involved for a few hours in something that was encouraging physically, but also just spiritually and socially, that we were together around something that was edifying. And these things are like, they can't take away. Once they start taking away from our walk with God, and we could really use that as a gauge, one of the gauges is this become idolatrous? Well, how much of my time does it take? Afterwards, what could I say I have left, you know, as a result of this activity, what's with me? It can happen in conversations. You could sit and just shoot the breeze with somebody and you could walk away from there going, I'm so demoralized from that conversation. I feel like I wasted my time. Or you could say, wow, it was really awesome to catch up. I'm edified. We exchange stories and we're encouraged by our lives with God. And it's an amazing, beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. And it can be. And of course, who knows what kind of creative skills can come out of participating in some of the hobbies that we choose to be a part of.
Yep.
I want to go back to, you know, that whole idea of, you know, the purpose of God in our lives. Some of our listeners will remember the Academy Award-winning movie Chariots of Fire.
Yes.
And the star in that movie, Eric Little. He once made, this was his statement. He said, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast.
Yes.
And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Yeah. I mean, that's what he said when he participated in the 1924 Olympics and won a medal as a result of it. But of course, he went on to become a missionary to the country of China. And I believe his life ended. He was in a Japanese prison camp towards the end of the Second World War. Oh. Fascinating story. But think about it. He said, God made me for a purpose. Part of that purpose was that he was a gifted, swift runner. Mm. And that's what he participated in the Olympics.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what his race was, 400 meters or 800 meters. I'm not sure. But he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. In other words, he could glorify God with his ability to run those races. Mm. That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's like, could there be anything better than that? I often think of my own life, you know, growing up as a young person, like yourself, I loved the sports. I just loved to be active, whether it was baseball or basketball or ice hockey. We were always active. We were always outside playing. It's just the nature of how we grew up.
Yes.
And yet, at the same time, I always enjoyed gathering my neighbors, my friends, and we would all together go down to the ballpark and I would split up the teams and, you know, kind of, I was like a youth pastor before I was a youth pastor.
That's awesome.
But it was also involving sports. And then as I began to grow in my faith after I gave my life to Christ as a teenager, 17 years of age, I began to see that some of those desires, some of those things I loved were going to be a part of the calling of God upon my life.
Yeah, amen.
Which was to be with young people and to gather them together, not for the purpose necessarily of sports, although that does happen from time to time, but for fellowship, to share the gospel, to evangelize, to reach the world for Christ. And at the same time, the sports aspect of it was not taken from my life.
Right.
I was brought into it with a ministry to NBA athletes. I mean, that was, to me, that was like the perfect combination
Incredible.
Of who I was and what I loved to do, and it brought glory to God.
Yeah, you let God train you in your everyday life to be prepared for something that God used as a gift in, or as a tool in your hands later in life. And I think that's a beautiful testimony. And we don't know, you know, like what God's doing. And I always appreciated, I asked your grandson, the same grandson that used to beat you on the basketball court. I asked him one time what his favorite sport was. And he said, whatever one the season is, you know. And you could tell that it was, and it was true. If he was playing basketball, he was 100% into basketball. If he was playing soccer, you know, baseball, whatever sport he was playing at the moment was his favorite sport. And I just took away from that that he appreciates being able to compete hard. And that, of course, everyone plays to win, but just honing your gifts and your skills and seeing, can I improve? Can I make everybody else around me better? And he was a guy that did that, a scrappy point guard that would, make others better around him as well. And I think, like, you know, are there like real things that we can kind of look at in our lives and say, have I crossed a line into idolatry? Has something gone awry and it's no longer become an enjoyment and an edification, but it's become a bondage? And, you know, I think these guys who start out on their phones looking at fantasy football and making trades and it's a lot of fun and it's enjoyable. And you might have like okay, let's all pitch in $25 and the winner takes all, but it's not such a gambling tendency. And yet it can become, you know, you're preoccupied with it. You stop rooting for your local team because you got a guy on the other team and you need him to score big points. And, you know, that all became important. Then there's this, you know, you could gamble on the same app. You could say, oh, I could turn, while I'm playing my fantasy football, I could turn that into money by just wagering a little money. And before long, people are completely occupied with it. And as you said, at the end of it, they may even take their lives because they've lost their purpose in it. And it became something that took them away. And it doesn't even have to be for a gambling standpoint. It could just be that I go from doing something recreationally as a way to be encouraged and refreshed, and then it becomes a preoccupation, which leads me into something that's completely separate from God. And that's where we really want to examine our hearts, make sure we understand, is my heart divided? You know, if somebody looks at me and says, you know, they're a Christian or a believer, a pastor, while they're not playing this sport, but when they're playing that sport, they're completely godless, I probably have a problem with that. You know, examine my mind, examine my conversations. Do my conversations in those events, you know, do they become something that's outside of God? I could examine my emotions. You know, we live and die with our sports teams, you know, as New Englanders. And when the Celtics win, we're happy. And when they lose, we're not happy. But ultimately, we could watch a professional athletic event or even a championship, and as believers, we can say, well, it didn't happen, but thank God tomorrow morning the sun's going to rise and God is on the throne and we still have a walk with him and we can be built up and edified and our happiness is not tied to the performance of that team.
Yeah. Well, that's how you can live when Christ is your life.
Right.
Right. But I think it goes back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is it's not a bad thing to talk to God about these hobbies that we have in our lives, the things that we involve ourselves, the recreation that we are a part of. Just stop, take stock every once in a while. God, you know, I've been doing this a lot. It seems to me that I do it more now than I have in the past. Is this still pleasing to you?
Yeah.
Does this bring you glory?
Am I okay?
Yeah, am I okay? Yeah. What's it doing to my soul? Mm-hmm. Do I still have a desire to bring people to Christ? Do I still want to share the gospel with the lost? Do I still have a great desire to gather together with fellow believers in my local church? These are the kinds of things. You just talk to God about it. Mm. Be honest, be open. And if God were to say to you, yeah, you know what? It's becoming a little bit over-obsessive. It's, you know, you have crossed the line and I don't want to take it away from you. That's never my goal. It's just that I want you to enjoy these things in the context of having a relationship with me as your single most important priority.
And I think that's really the definition of biblical moderation, right? Let everything be done in moderation. We don't know, like, what is the quantifiable amount of a recreation or a hobby or a sport that's okay. We don't know that.
Right.
And it's really hard to be objective, especially when you're on a winning streak or a losing streak, right? Or you just are, you're enjoying it so much, you just want to be occupied with it. But as you said, stopping, pausing, taking stock, getting with God and saying, am I okay? You know, is this still pleasing to you? Is this really a good use of my time that's going to propel me in the other areas of my life with my walk with God? Because I'll be refreshed and restored in areas. If we can't do that, then we have a trouble because we don't know. It's not quantifiable, the exact amount. As you said, yeah. A person, you know, for some people, a little bit, just a little dose of a hobby and they're good to go, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Other people, it takes them a little while and they need to be refreshed. And that's okay. As long as in the midst of that, it's adding to our walk with God and not taking away from it. And being honest and transparent before the Lord, we got to be able to say, you know, I've spent X amount of hours. Have I spent that kind of time in the Word? Am I investing in my own personal life with God? Am I investing in my family? Am I investing in the people around me? You know, we're so preoccupied with this championship happening in our lives, or we got involved in some competition. And at the same time, what's going on in the world? I read somewhere that the SEC, you know, the Southeastern Conference, their annual operating budget is greater than the gross domestic product of, I don't know, some incredible amount of countries mm-hmm. combined.
Wow.
And, you know, like we would say, is that really like a way to express, you know, a healthy balance of, and, you know, we love the sports and we love the activities, but these are cutthroat, you know, institutions. And boy, thank God that we can be transparent before Him and say, Lord, to what degree do you want me to excel? Then you see a guy like Tim Tebow, who was a championship player and an award-winning quarterback. And his testimony was, I do this for the pleasure of the Lord, and I do it as unto the Lord. And actually his convictions, and we know so many athletes that have had a testimony, you know, beyond just pointing to the sky and say, it's the big man upstairs or the man in the sky. But, you know, this is like, I can only do what I do. And it's actually become quite common. You see these people that are championship winners or coaches, and they say, well, first and foremost, I got to say that none of this is possible without God. And I think some of them really understand and mean it.
Yes.
And they recognize, and yes. You've had connection with a lot of those athletes in your time with the Knicks and in the NBA, and to be able to say, I understand, you know, we're really good at this, but we're only because of the grace of God, only because God gives me the opportunity to do it. And if that's really what He puts in front of me, I want to do it with all my might. And there was a question about, you know, is the call of God on our lives always obvious? No, I don't know that it's always obvious. I think the call to Him is obvious, the call to be able to grow in Him. But when you were growing up, you weren't thinking, oh, I got to split these teams up well because someday I'm going to be a youth pastor.
No.
But God was preparing you. And mm-hmm. as you became more and more prepared, you recognized how God had used some things in your life to prepare you. So then it became obvious. But I don't think it's always obvious. I think it's something we grow in.
It isn't always obvious. And yeah. I think it can take some time. And I think, I mean, for me, my hobbies helped to define my calling.
Yeah.
And the people, those that are listening today in the Grace Hour, it could be that your hobbies are going to help you to define what your calling is. But again, the calling is what's all important.
Yes.
If you were to ask me, would you enjoy going to thousands and thousands of NBA games in New York City over the past 35 years just to watch the games? My answer would be no.
Right.
But if I'm going to go and have a ministry to the athletes while I'm there, and perhaps lead some of them to Christ or to help them grow in their faith, that's worth it.
Yes.
That's worth every mile that we drive. That's worth every moment that we pour into that ministry.
Yes.
Because it's the purpose of God. You take away the purpose of God from those hobbies and those things that we like to enjoy in our lives, the recreation of our lives, I think they can, they'll become empty pretty quick.
Yeah. Amen. And I love it. We had recently, my wife and I were invited to a wedding, and it was one of our former youth club members from the Baltimore City Youth Club. When we had the youth ministry down there, and you know, this is a young man that we knew 30 some odd years ago, maybe 33 or 34 years ago. And he invited us to his wedding. And it was his second marriage. And, you know, I just kind of was like, well, it's interesting that he invited us, because I looked around. I didn't know anyone else at the entire reception, and except my wife. And we just were kind of wondering, you know, like, how did we end up here? And I'm really happy that we're here. And I like it. And it was a ministry. And it was actually a really great connection of godly people. And but as he started introducing me to his son, and then he introduced me to some other people, and he said, yeah, these guys, they came down to our homes. You know, when I was a teenager, they came to our homes and knocked on our doors, and they didn't just give us a Bible study, but they showed us how to live. And actually they invited us into their homes, and I felt like family the moment I walked in the door. And I'm breaking, because my recollection was, yeah, we went down there to Chick Webb. We played basketball. We shared a message. We encouraged people. I don't necessarily see any fruit, you know, years and years and years as they go by. But actually, I keep getting reminded by testimonies, or somebody runs into somebody and they say, you guys that used to come down here, you meant so much in my life. And like, this is the fruit of it, you know. And I can only imagine that there'll be people who will come in heaven and say, you know, I had everything I needed in the NBA. I had money, I had fame, I had opportunity, but I didn't have Jesus. And you came faithfully and gave me Jesus. Yeah. And now I'm here today with everything that I need for all of eternity because of Jesus. And that's just such a great testimony.
It really is. And recently, I was speaking with one of the head coaches of a collegiate team here in the United States, a very prominent team. One that everybody would recognize. And in the process of our communication together, we were texting back and forth, and we went down and saw one of the games that he coached, and it was a great experience for my daughter, my granddaughter, myself. And he texted me back, and he said, it was just so great to have you there. Thank you so much. He says, I can't thank you enough for getting me through what was one of the wildest time of my life. Wow. When I was a player for the New York Knicks 3 decades ago. Incredible. You know, and that does mean everything.
Yes.
Because you were there, and God put you there, and the message that you brought to that particular young man made a difference in his life, and they remember those times. And like you described, those young people that you invested in so many years ago, the fruit of it still remains today.
It's amazing, and it's God's fruit. You know, it's really, thank God he uses us, and that we're willing to go along with a plan and say, I'm stepping into some situations that I'm not comfortable with necessarily. You know, we're knocking on doors in areas, and people are going, what are you doing in this neighborhood? And why are you here? And I, you know, had the police question me on several occasions, what are you doing down here? And it's when they see the Bible in your hand, they're like, oh, okay, you're the Bible guys. We've heard about you. Go ahead. Mm. You know, and we were able to share the gospel. And, you know, this is like, if any of my hobbies or my occupations take me away from that, then I'm missing out on something that's eternal and rich. And there are people out there, you know, in the midst of our NCAA championships and the Final Four week and all the hype and all the buildup and all the blah, 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 blah. And there's still people starving and still people who are without Christ and who are perishing, and it would be a shame if we got so preoccupied with that we never remembered who we're called here to minister to. And the beautiful thing I think about our ministry and in our lives is we don't say don't enjoy any of those things.
That's right.
We just say do it as unto the Lord in mm-hmm. balance, being able to be checked by God, letting your friends who are called, you know, maybe making yourselves accountable to each other, like, hey, if you notice that I'm, you know, spending too much time on this game or whatever, could you just give me a little nudge and remind me? And I think that's an important thing that God can speak to us, whether directly or through our friends, and that we'd be willing to hear him because of the eternal value system.
Yeah. Jesus, he said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I think part of that abundant life involves the recreation, the hobbies that we choose to participate in. And as you said, if we have that and strike that balance, then God can use it to glorify his name.
Amen.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's broadcast, friends. Thank you so much. We appreciate those of you that shared with us your comments on the chat today, Madeline, Aretta, Elizabeth, Carol. We appreciate you weighing in, and some of those comments are excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, friends, for participating in the broadcast today as well. Just by tuning in, we do want to remind you that this Grace Hour broadcast can be heard on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to let your friends know that they can tune in as well. Have a great day, friends, and join us tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, coming up a little less than 24 hours from now.